It's time for this week's edition of the Virtual Bible Study. The Virtual Bible Study is a live, internet-only call-in program dedicated to the honest study and discussion of God's Word. Do you have a question about something in the Bible, or are you simply interested in learning more about the Scriptures? If so, we hope you'll stay tuned tonight as we look into the pages of God's Word. The Virtual Bible Study is brought to you this time each week by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. You can participate in the discussion tonight by calling 931-381-4567 or by emailing your questions or comments from collegeview.com. We hope you'll take out your Bibles and study along with us as we begin an exciting study of God's Word on this edition of the Virtual Bible Study.
And we welcome you into the Virtual Bible Study for Thursday, November 14th, 2013. Thank you for being a part of the program tonight. My name is Jacob Gwynn. My father, Greg Gwynn, is back. Hello, Dad. Welcome back.
Jacob, great to be with you again on the Virtual Bible Study. Hopefully going to be sitting here for the next many weeks in a row without interruption.
You know, I've been missing you a lot here lately.
Well, it's been crazy lately.
Is it something I said?
Yeah, but I'm going to get over it, and I'm going to try to be here for this last month has been pretty crazy around here, but we are settled in. We've also, the craziness has been magnified by virtue of website issues.
Yes.
And podcasting issues that we've been trying to work through, and we still are not getting our podcast into the hands of our previous subscribers, and we're still having some trouble with that, so hopefully we'll work that out.
And I need to say thank you to you for putting all this together, because you've been racking your brain.
Well, it's just a crazy little glitch.
Anthony, have you ever tried to do a website? It is not as easy as you would think.
Yeah, it's really not. I have done some. It's been years and years ago, but... changed so much now.
Yeah, the website construction is not that difficult. They have pretty intuitive tools to use. Our problem has been trying to get a glitch with our podcasting ironed out, and I'm not sure we've got it figured out. But we definitely don't have it figured out yet.
What's that?
No, I just say I don't know anything about the whole podcasting thing. Kind of blows my mind. I don't know how.
I can do that. That's no problem. But this is the whole addressing thing, the domain name server, and all this jazz.
Yeah.
Ooh, boy.
Yeah, it's annoying. It's just absolutely annoying. Yeah. We were just clicking along just with no troubles, and then our buddy Phil Hunt decided to go out of business, and he threw us into the deep water without any life jacket.
Oh yeah, that's true.
So
but I've been impressed. You've done a good job.
No, and our website is still obviously very rudimentary. We're going to add content once we decide that we can stick with this format and we don't have to scrap it and go a different direction to get this podcasting thing straightened out. So we're working on that, and we appreciate the patience we got. I do think from the little bit of feedback I'm getting that during the live program, our content is more viewable to more people on smartphones and tablets and so forth.
That's good. And we're still having trouble with the podcast. We may get that fixed tonight still, but we appreciate your patience on that. Setup may change just a little bit, but if it does, we'll let you know.
Yeah, we may have to throw all our subscribers to the wolves and start over again.
Well, we can't do that. We're gonna try our best.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Tonight.
You know, I was looking through past programs and topics we've covered, and I think I discovered a hole in our coverage.
A hole in our coverage.
Yeah, something that we have not touched on in 8+ years Virtual Bible studies, and it's the problem of pride. And you know, this is a universal problem, and this is a situation that all of us have to deal with continuously. And so we've never really talked directly about pride, the problem of pride, and what the Bible has to say. The Bible has a whole lot to say on the subject of pride.
Mm-hmm. Our listeners thought we thought we were too good to talk about it.
No, that's not the case.
Okay.
but it is it's not one of those hot topic.
It's not real controversial. I don't know anybody in the religious world today says we need more pride.
Yeah, pride's good.
We need pride, yeah.
Nobody's saying that. Everybody's on the same page. We understand it's a problem, but it is a Bible subject that needs to be discussed, and in our personal lives we need to address it. Before we get to that, though, Jacob, you might tell us about next week's program, which might be a little more controversial.
Yeah, next week we have scheduled a Methodist preacher, or I think he's a bishop in the Methodist Church. He is, Anthony, I don't know if you've seen this in the news, he is planning to marry, he's from Nashville, he's planning to marry two men in Alabama, homosexual marriage.
No, I haven't heard about that.
He's going against the grain even in the Methodist Church.
Yeah, he's going to be violating Methodist Church policy when he does it.
But he's willing to do that. He's sticking his neck out on the line. We want to talk to him about that and how he reconciles the teachings of the Bible with the idea of homosexual marriage.
All right. That should be real interesting. Yeah, we'll look forward to that next week, Lord willing, on the virtual Bible study.
Right.
Tonight we're going to talk about pride. Again, it's not a controversial subject. We all understand it's a bad thing. We need to avoid it. I could introduce this, Jacob, by calling to mind my own grandmother, who for all of her life, if any of us ever said something about I'm proud of this or I'm proud of that, she would stop you in your tracks. She wouldn't let you finish your sentence, and she would advise us that the pride is never mentioned in a favorable way in the Bible.
Okay.
And so she would just insist that you not even use that term, regardless of your intended meaning. She just thought it was bad. Pride is condemned in the Scripture, no doubt about it.
And we're sort of going to touch on some of those questions tonight about how to use that term.
Yeah. So here's the questions we sent out earlier today to our update list. Our update list is still working.
Oh, that still works.
As far as I know.
We got this email thing down.
Yeah, as far as we know, email still works, and we haven't had any problem with that. And in fact, we even have our email forwarding working so that our feedback address is, once again, questions@collegeview.com.
Seamless transition.
Seamlessly.
Yeah.
So questions@collegeview.com is how you talk to us on email. And this is the set of questions that we sent out earlier today to our update list. Number one, list Bible verses which warn about pride and boasting. Number two, what spiritual dangers result from pride? Number three, is there any sort of boasting that is good? Number four, what about the expression, I take pride in my work?
Okay.
And then also an expression, probably I think where I hear it most often, I'm proud of my family. I'm proud of my children.
Yes.
What about that sort of emotion or concept? And then finally, and I think this is sort of a related topic, not directly associated with pride, but what's the difference between praising someone and flattering someone? And that's just loosely connected to the idea of pride. Could pride be involved in excessively bragging about not self, but someone else, praising them inordinately, maybe even crossing over into the line of flattery? We want to talk about that at the end of the program.
All right. We'll look forward to your comments on those questions tonight. The way you participate listening to us live is 877-381-4567 or the chat room to the bottom of your video window. And if you're listening to us in the recorded version, or if you're listening to us live, that email address again is questions@collegeview.com. As we look at the problem of pride, certainly it is a serious problem. You ask in the first question, number one, list some verses that Bible verses that warn about pride and boasting, and we could spend the entire program on question one without any difficulty at all.
Yeah, just the sheer volume of passages in the Bible that discuss pride. Tim in the chat room is already saying he thinks he sees maybe one verse where pride is not in a negative viewpoint, and that may be, and we can look at that verse later. But, of course, the overwhelming majority, perhaps without exception, maybe with a rare exception, pride is used in a negative way. I got a list of verses from the Proverbs. I mean, the Proverbs are loaded with verses about this. Let me read a few of them quickly. Probably the one that's best remembered is Proverbs 6, beginning verse 16. These six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren.
Yes.
But it starts out with a proud look.
Yes, Randy in Schwartz Creek, Michigan, and Anthony, who is behind the board tonight, both submitted that verse.
All right, so that's a well-known one. We reference it a lot.
Yes.
Let me give you a few more from the Proverbs real quickly. 11:2, when pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom.
Okay.
13:10, by pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom.
Yes.
14:3, in the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise will preserve him.
Yes.
15:25, the Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the boundary of the widow. 16:5, everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord.
Yeah, Randy had that one.
Though they join forces, none will go unpunished.
Yes.
16:18.
Yeah, that's a famous one.
Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall.
Yep, Anthony, Randy, and Ramona sent that in.
21:4, a haughty look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked are sin. Mm-hmm. And finally, 29:23, a man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor.
Wow.
So there's just a ton of verses just there in the book of Proverbs.
Let's look at some others. Anthony, you had some on your list. If you can get some of those ready, we'll at the ready there. I'm not right now, just in a minute if you get a chance. I want to look at some from Randy in Sports Creek, Michigan. He submitted some, again, as you'd already mentioned. He also adds Mark 7, verses 20 through 23. And as he was saying, that which proceeds out of the man, this is Jesus speaking, that is what defiles the man. From within, out of the heart of men, proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. So the word pride there, is lumped with all these other things. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. And so we see there, Dad, you see in Mark chapter 7, as Randy's pointed out, that pride is lumped in there with fornications, murders, adultery.
And that's always amazing to me when we see a catalog listing of sins.
Yep.
That what's amazing to us is there's some horrible sins there.
Yes.
And then pride is in there.
Yes.
You know, we would tend to think, well, pride's not pleasant. You know, it's kind of a distasteful quality in a person if they're arrogantly proud. But right. Man, it's certainly not like sexual immorality, is it?
Or murder.
Or murder. But, yeah, in God's eyes, it is. So
he also references Obadiah 3, the arrogance of your heart has deceived you. You who live in the clefts of the rock, in the loftiness of your dwelling place, who say in your heart, who will bring me down to earth? And so the people there in Obadiah were proud and thought that they didn't have anybody that they needed to reckon with.
All right. And then we got some verses sent in by our friend Ramona in Texas, who's been out of commission for a few weeks with some health issues, but she's back and says she's feeling better, and we're glad for that. And she mentioned several of the ones in the Proverbs that we had mentioned, but then I think some real good ones from Romans 12. In Romans 12, verse 3, by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance to the measure of faith God has given you. So don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. That very instruction implies that it's possible to do so, and we need to be on guard against
that.
Sure. In the same chapter of Romans 12, verse 16, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. It's a problem that we need to avoid. And then a verse that I think we'll talk about more as we go along in our study from Philippians 2, verses 2 through 4. Complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others.
Yes.
So I think all of those are great verses from Ramona, and we appreciate her sending those in.
Anthony, you got any at the ready that thought?
One I could remember is not so much a verse, but just it's a verse, of course, but the parable of the rich farmer, if you will, comes to mind in Luke chapter 12, where Jesus even said that he was sort of teaching about covetousness, but the guy, I think, also was full of pride in himself and the things that he had. And he was sort of puffed up with his material goods. And of course, verse 20 said God called him a fool. So he wasn't paying attention. His priorities were out of whack, which I think we'll talk about later.
And that pride preceded his destruction,
right,
as Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18 says that it will. Randy also mentioned Luke 18:9-14.
Yeah, I want us to look at that a little more carefully, the publican and the Pharisee.
Yeah.
I came again studying for this today. I came across what I thought was kind of an interesting statement in Jeremiah that I had a star by it in my Bible. So I when I came across that before, I thought that makes a good point, but I never had developed it. Jeremiah 9, verses 23 and 24. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches. Now, the word glory there would be the idea of taking pride in these things.
Mm-hmm.
But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. someone pointed out in verse 23, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. So that's mind power. Don't glory in your intellect.
Yes.
Neither let the mighty man glory in his might. That's your physical strength.
Yes.
Don't glory in your strength. Don't be proud of how strong you think you are.
Right.
Let not the rich man glory in his riches. And that's money power. So someone had broken this down. Don't be proud of mind power, muscle power, money power.
Uh-huh.
It makes a pretty good point.
It is.
You know, the idea, I know everything, no one can tell me anything, that's pride of mind.
Yeah.
Look at all that I have done with my own strength. Look what I have accomplished.
Yes, yes.
That's, you know, in your proud of your strength. And then look at all I have. Look at all I've accumulated. That's having pride in your money. And God advises, take pride in none of those things.
Yeah.
And I think that is absolutely valuable advice for us.
Absolutely. Thank you for that reference.
Let's take a break, Jacob. Before we come back, let's look at the rich man. Pharisee and the publican in
Anthony,
Luke 18.
And Anthony, let's go quickly through your list of verses. We won't read them all, but you had Proverbs 6, 16 through 17, Proverbs 8, 13, Proverbs 11, verse 2, Proverbs 13, 10, Proverbs 16, 18 through 19, Proverbs 26,
look
verse 12.
Look at all those Proverbs, yeah.
Yeah, Matthew 6, 5 and 6.
Luke. Now that's from the Sermon on the Mount, not the Beatitudes section per se, but that is from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, where is it?
Five and six.
Telling us to pray when we pray. Be careful about our prayers. Same context when you give alms, don't do it to be seen of men.
The pride idea, Anthony. Right, Anthony's right. Your list is extensive here. We can't go without mentioning them all. Luke 12, 16 through 20, Romans 12, 3 and verse 16, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 2, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, 2 Corinthians 10, 17 and 18. James 4, verse 6, James 4, verse 10, 1 John chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And Tim in the chat room, before we go to the break, Tim in the chat room said, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9 is a good verse. Not of works, lest any man should boast. God makes it clear it is his grace that saves and not your works that get you into heaven, to prevent man from boasting that because of man's deeds, he can enter the kingdom. Good works are required, but by themselves they cannot get you into the kingdom. However, the lack of works can only keep you out. Thank you, Tim, for that good reference. Appreciate that. And
he mentions also maybe a positive use of the idea of pride in Galatians 6, verses 5 and 6. Verse 4 says, let every man prove. Let me back up. This is Galatians 6, verse 3. If a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. That would seem to be the idea of self-pride.
Yeah.
But let every man prove his own work, and then he shall have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. The word rejoicing sometimes is synonymous with pride, and maybe in that verse, but the idea of it is make sure, do your own work, and then you won't have to trust in something else.
All right.
Well, it's really talking about spiritual work there.
All right. Let's take a break. We're overdue, and when we get back, we'll continue the discussion of pride. What are some spiritual dangers that can result from pride? We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. Send in your thoughts now and get online. We'll be talking to you on the other side. Don't go anywhere. The virtual Bible study continues right after these messages.
Are you listening? There's going to be a test on this stuff. Stay tuned. The virtual Bible study will be right back after this.
Hi, I'm Jack Coleman, a member of Ecology Church of Christ, with a suggestion for you and your family. Why not turn off the TV on Thursday nights and gather the family around the computer for an hour of in-depth Bible study? The virtual Bible study always involves subjects of importance and interest to serious Bible students. So, why not join this internet Bible study group every Thursday night?
Here's some quotes worth pondering. The man who removes a mountain begins by carrying away small stones. If not us, who? If not now, when? If you want to test your memory, try to recall what you were worrying about 1 year ago today. Seize the moment. Don't expect someone else to do something that needs to be done. Man, wish I'd said that.
Quit checking your email. The commercials are over and the virtual Bible study is ready to roll. Take it away, guys.
And we're back on the program tonight as we talk about pride and the problems that are associated with it. Thank you for joining us on the program. And we do think this is an important subject, one we haven't talked about here so far on the program, but it is one that the Bible tells us very clearly is a serious danger. We need to look at it and be aware of it.
Before the break, we had mentioned a couple times the story that Jesus told about the Pharisee and the publican. Let me read it real quickly. It's not long, powerful. Notice the reason why Jesus spoke the parable. Not every parable gives the meaning up front, this one does. He spake this parable. This is Luke 18:9. He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised other. So that was their problem.
Okay.
Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed with himself, saying, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted.
Mm-hmm.
So he starts out by telling the reason why he's explaining the parable. And then at the end also, he emphasizes, if you exalt yourself, there's pride, you will be brought low. But if you humble yourself, you'll be exalted.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of sermons have been preached on that text, obviously. And the Pharisee's pretty amazing guy in a despicable sort of way. He trusted in himself, and this is borne out by the fact that in that prayer, if you could call it a prayer, he didn't ask God for anything, didn't apparently feel he needed anything.
Mm-hmm.
He just enumerated his good qualities and what he thought was good about himself. Whereas the publican humbled himself and acknowledged his sinfulness. And so here we see a man with pride and what it did to him.
Yeah.
It deceived himself into thinking he needed nothing, when actually he was in an undone situation with God. It was going to cost him his soul. And that's the same thing that can happen to us.
All right. To look forward to your thoughts at 877-381-4567. You know, a guy was telling me yesterday about something. You know, pride can be one of those things that's in our life, and we don't realize that it's there or causing us harm. Do you remember back in the 60s, apparently shoe stores had x-ray machines where you could stick your feet in there. You put your kids in the shoes, and then you stick them in this thing, and it was continuous x-rays, and you could look down through a lens, and you could see how their toes were lining up in the shoes. And they thought this was a great idea, but then, you know, they're getting all this exposure to x-rays.
I didn't know anything about that. How long ago was it?
This is back, they outlawed them in the 70s, I think, but it started back in early 1900s, but yeah, these things. So, you know, people thought, well, this is no problem. We can do this. But they were, you know, exposing themselves to the dangers of x-rays. Same thing with pride. You know, I mean, we could have certain things, certain attitudes in our lives that are proudful, and we don't really recognize that they're causing us great spiritual damage.
Yeah, I think that's why there's so many instructions against pride and so many, exhortations to humility and self-examination. And so it's something we have to be on constant lookout for.
That's right. Let us know your thoughts. We look forward to hearing from you in the chat room tonight. Join in.
Well, I'm getting an email from somebody we know, Jacob, in Mount Pleasant, who says not getting the program.
Well, I think other people are, apparently, if you're hearing us. I mean, we'd hear from them in the chat room, I think, if we weren't, and the chat room seems to be full tonight. So, well, if you don't hear us, you can let us know. If you hear us, you can let us know.
I was able to pull it up on my phone.
You copy us.
Yeah.
Copy. Roger. All right. Let us know if you're having problems on the program tonight. Spiritual problems, though, can result from pride. We had Randy in Michigan tonight, and I'll tell you what, I'm glad I'm not with Randy tonight in Michigan. It's cold enough in Tennessee as it is. Psalm 18, verse 27, Randy says, pride will bring one down. Psalm 18, verse 27, for you save an afflicted people, but haughty eyes you abase. So God does not look favorably on those who are proud. A man's pride will bring him low. Proverbs 29, verse 23, a man's pride will bring him low, but a humble spirit will obtain honor. Matthew 23, verse 12, whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. Luke 14, 11, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And so man's pride will bring you down and bring you low. God resists the proud, James 4, verse 6, but he gives greater grace. Therefore, it says God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Appreciate those, Randy.
And Ramona in Texas says, what spiritual dangers result from pride? She says, if we show what great Christians we are on this earth and all that we do, our reward is only going to be here on earth, not in heaven. that would go to that text that Anthony suggested earlier from Matthew 6, the Sermon on the Mount. You know, if you do your alms to be seen of men, you have your reward. If you say your prayers to be seen of men, you have your reward. If you fast to make yourself appear more righteous, you have your reward when men see you. Yeah. So if we think we're great on earth, then we have our reward. She goes on to say, we get a holier-than-thou attitude toward other Christians and God will deal with us for our haughty attitudes. We start to trust our own insights rather than God's. We do not give God the credit that's due him. We start to think that blessings come as a result of our good works instead of from God's sovereign hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, so all of that is good. Oh, one more. She says, we would lose by our lack of vigilance and obedience. I'm not sure I'm catching that just right. But anyway, several good points there from Ramona.
Okay.
And Anthony. Tell us what you were thinking.
Tell us yours.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's where I was referencing
Peter.
Peter. I mean, to me, that's got to be one of the biggest, contradictions, I guess. Not really, but, you know, Peter said at the Last Supper, you know, Jesus talking about how that, you know, that the his followers would forsake him and so forth. And Peter said, no, you know, I'll never deny you. I'll never be offended by you. And then, of course, we know that later he denied Christ, and we're all familiar with that episode. But to me, that just shows, you know, he was so sure and so confident that he would never fall. And it's just a classic example of pride going before the fall.
Sure.
And, you know, just when we're so confident in ourselves, then we're not looking for, you know, we're not ready for temptation. We're feeling invincible, and we may be caught off guard by sin and temptation. And, you know, it's also thinking about how that, when we're prideful, it's usually because things are going well. We've got, you know, our health is good. Our income is good. We're doing fine. And we tend to forget about God.
You know, that is exactly where I was headed. Deuteronomy chapter 6 is a long discourse on that problem, where God tells the children of Israel that he's getting ready to bless them abundantly physically. And he tells them the danger is that when they get all these blessings, they begin to think, Anthony, that they're the reason why, that they got it with their might. Deuteronomy chapter 8 is the passage I was alluding to. In verse 10, when thou hast eaten and art full, thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, and not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock. And it goes on in verse 17, and thou say in thy heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant with which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. So the problem that the Israelites were warned against, and I think the problem that they later gave into, was the idea of pride, that they were responsible for all the blessings that they enjoyed, and they forgot God.
Okay, I think that's exactly right. That's the sort of the gist of comment in the chat room by Jack in Hampshire, Tennessee.
Jack says he's getting the program in Hampshire, and that's sort of a worst-case scenario. If you can hear us in Hampshire, you can probably hear us anywhere. So thank you, Jack, for that.
Jack, I didn't say that. I'm not insulting the community of Hampshire,
but
Jacob is.
So just kidding.
Send your complaints and emails to Jacob. Jack says, we're commanded to humble ourselves before God in our mind, our actions, and our relationships before we have to be humbled by God in unpleasant ways.
Right.
One of the reasons that God hates prideful attitudes is that he knows proud people are unwilling to yield their will to his control.
Yeah.
I think that's exactly right.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, if you think about why is God so against pride, I think it's the idea that, you know, God, from God's perspective, he made us and he provides us with everything that we need. And if we pretend, if we ignore that fact and think that we've done it all and that we're some great and special thing, then, you know, to God, in God's eyes, that's like, who do you think you are?
Yeah.
And
when you boil it all down, what do you got to be proud about? Really nothing. You know, and it's amazing that God tolerates us at all when we demonstrate pride, because we have nothing to be proud about.
Yeah.
And so we.
I mean, just think how fragile our health is. It wouldn't take anything, Anthony, for us to be in a vegetative state where we couldn't do anything for ourselves.
I got some things to add to the list, but let's take our break, and when we come back, I'm going to add some things to the dangers. I got a list of some things that I think are dangers of pride.
All right, we'll take a break, get this week's bullet point, and when we get back, we'll hopefully hear from you. Let us know your thoughts. 877-381-4567. Don't go anywhere. The Virtual Bible Study continues right after this.
You won't want to miss what we talk about next. The discussion continues right after these important messages.
This is Greg Gwynn with this week's bullet point. Recently, a new school term started, and so we're back in the business of teaching our children the basics of reading, writing, and arithmetic. There are spelling words to learn, math problems to do, poster board projects to finish, and lunches to pack. As parents, we are concerned that our kids get a good education. We want them to be prepared for the future. We check to make sure that they have the necessary supplies, that homework assignments have been completed, and that tests have been studied for. We want them to do well, and we put forth a real effort to ensure their educational progress. This is as it should be. There's another kind of learning that's far more important than the book learning they receive at school. It's the knowledge of God and His revealed will. Yet we're concerned that many parents do not emphasize this as much as they do their schoolwork. This lack of emphasis is seen when students come to Bible classes unprepared. Their assignments are not completed, and they have no idea about the subject matter to be discussed. Some kids are frequently absent from the class. Students who miss as many as half of the class sessions are never going to gain much from these studies. And some students are not physically ready for class. They're present, but they've been allowed to stay up late Saturday night and can hardly keep their eyes open to study the Bible. As parents, we would not tolerate these things when it comes to our children's secular education. Why should we allow it in their study of God's Word? That's this week's bullet point. Think about it.
I am Nestor Sanchez from Arica, Chile, in South America, and I love to listen to the virtual Bible study. And this moment, I invite you to participate in this program too. Gracias.
We're waiting to hear from you. Call in right now and join in on the virtual Bible study. Now, back to the program.
We're back on the program tonight, and we want to remind you this program is brought to you by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. Find out more about us by visiting our website that is up and running for now, thevirtualbiblestudy.com, collegeview.com are both the addresses you can use to get in touch with us, find out more about us. We look forward to you investigating our website. If you haven't been there yet, it is new, and you might find some things there that would help
you. We're going to add,
we're
going to add more content there once we are locked in that we can solve all our problems with this setup. But we've hesitated to do a lot of work adding content until we make sure we're good to go with solving our podcasting problems with this setup.
Yeah, we'll get all of the archives up there from the past 8 years of the Virtual Bible Study, and we're also hopefully going to get some sermons up there.
Maybe some sermons, some bulletin articles, We can do it. We can add a lot of stuff there.
We got a horse to ride on.
That's right.
So we look forward to you checking that out. And if you've got any questions about something you've heard, or if you have a suggestion for a future edition of the Virtual Bible Study, that email address works now, and it is rock solid. questions@collegeview.com.
All right, and I suggest before the break, I've got some things to add. Dangers that come through pride. Pride often serves as a motivator for other sins.
Mm-hmm.
Think about this. Go back all the way to the first sin of Eve in the Garden of Eden. What was it that caused her to eat the fruit?
Oh, yeah.
Genesis 3:6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. Seemed like there was pride there. It was something desired.
She wanted
the wisdom, the benefit she could gain by that, even though God had forbidden it.
Okay.
So just an example, and probably could cite plenty more, that pride serves as a motivator for other sins. Pride makes us oblivious to danger.
Yeah.
And we don't even – pride makes us think that we're not in danger. When in fact, as we quoted earlier from Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. We've got to be able to recognize the stumbling blocks that are out there that we might trip over, but we don't even see the danger because we don't think we can be affected by it.
Yeah, we're impervious to that.
So it makes us oblivious to danger. It makes us blind to our own conditions and status before God. We read about the Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisee was blind to his real status before
God.
Was it
the church at Laodicea that thought they were so well?
In Revelation 3, exactly.
Okay.
No, you got that up?
Revelation.
What they said about themselves.
They said, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked.
It even says they were blind.
Yeah.
So pride makes us blind to our real condition before God.
Mm-hmm.
Pride makes us foolish. Pride gives men a false sense of wisdom. They think they are wise. They deceive themselves into believing they are wise. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own conceits. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain.
So we
have a false sense of wisdom when we allow ourselves to be proud. We think we know more than we really do. It makes us, as has been mentioned several times, it makes us not willing to seek God's counsel.
Mm-hmm.
We're not looking to Him for wisdom and strength. Several things there that pride endangers us with. We get to thinking that we are better than others. We read already Philippians 2. Read that again in Philippians 2, verse 3.
Yep.
Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. That's a challenge right there. But we have to do that. If we're proud, we get to thinking we're better than others, more important than others. We get to thinking that our way is always right.
Yes.
And we get to thinking that we don't need to change.
Yeah.
You know, even the Apostle Paul understood that he was in constant danger and had to keep working at being the person God wanted him to be. 1 Corinthians 9:27, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to other men, I myself should be a castaway.
Yep.
And so he saw a danger there that he had to stay on guard against. Pride makes us not even perceptive to the dangers and certainly not guarding against them.
You mentioned, I like what you said about pride causes us to think our way is the best way, and that manifests itself in the matters of judgment, because I begin to bind my judgment on other people because I think, obviously, I'm much wiser and more capable of making a decision about how they ought to do things in the realm of judgment.
Yeah, and how many times has trouble been caused in local congregations because of that? You know, very often, I would think almost always, whenever there are problems in churches, you see pride as one of the root causes of it. Somebody gets their pride up and they won't submit to the judgment of others, and you end up with a problem.
Right. All right. Anthony, you see some dangers.
No, I think Greg touched on the high points there, and some of the same things I was saying. I think that the key problem to me with pride is as Greg was talking about, just the blinding effect that it takes our eye off the ball, and it's basically getting our priorities out of whack. You know, we're number one, and we no longer have God and at the center of what we're doing. Because if we did, then we would be, we wouldn't be in that prideful situation in this first place, I think it's a good point that it's sort of a gateway sin. You know, we talk about gateway drugs, and it's sort of a gateway sin.
Yeah.
So.
Great.
Very good. In the chat room, I see some of them are talking back and forth about God's chastening, that God may bring us low, not just in eternity, but in our present life too, and we don't have time to keep up with all that. It's good discussion.
But a good discussion about how to
but,
do it.
But
how
the
would
point,
God do that?
No, in the
we
Old
don't
Testament,
know how He would do that necessarily.
In the Old Testament, we can say for sure that God did that. You know, when for instance, the nation of Israel became haughty and proud when they rejected God, we see Him allowing their enemies to bring oppression upon them, to even take them away in captivity. We know that was God's hand at work because we have inspiration telling us so. Since the time of inspiration has ended and God's revelation is complete, if something happened to somebody, let's say we knew a proud man and he began to suffer the consequences of his pride.
Yeah.
I think I've known instances like that.
Right.
Could I say with definite certainty God brought that man low by these circumstances that befell him? He was a very proud man, and all this bad stuff happened to him, and that was God doing it. No, I can't say that, because we don't have the advantage of revelation now.
But there's no reason to think God wouldn't do that today.
Right. God can. God certainly rules in the affairs of men.
Right.
And he does that even though he's not working miraculously in the world today. He could bring that to pass. But we couldn't identify it because we don't have the advantage of inspiration.
And that, yes, right. I agree with that. And there was some discussion about whether or not that would be a miracle if God was involved in things. It wouldn't be a miracle. That by definition, it's not a miracle. It would be God still having pardoned things that are going on in the world today, but not in a miraculous
God can
way.
Influence things.
Or allow things to happen.
Or allow things to happen right. Without suspending the laws of nature right. To make it happen.
Okay. But again, we're delving into things that we don't.
That's the question of providence and miracles. Now, we've talked about that in the past, and we can probably talk about that again in the future. That's not our topic tonight.
Anthony's multitasking. He's getting in on that discussion. Well, Anthony, what do you say?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a very good question, an important, theological question, if you will. But I mean, biblical miracles, as I was saying in the chat room, are supernatural in nature. I mean, the suspension of the laws of nature.
Right.
Without going too far into it, the New Testament teaches that those miracles have ended, but God is still active in our lives. I mean, we've been talking about how, in the book of Hebrews, it talks about God chastening those that he loves. And so God is working in our lives, but as Greg, as you said, we can't necessarily, in a court of law say, well, God did that, because we don't have that view, that hindsight like we do in the Old Testament. We don't have any way to prove that. But the Bible tells us that God is working in our lives through what we would call providence.
Right. John says we're wading into murky waters here. We don't have all the answers, and that is.
Yeah. When it comes to matters of providence, we cannot say with certainty. I think all of us as Christians believe that God has answered prayers and brought things to pass in our lives that were a blessing to us. We may have often do. We pray for this or that, and it happens, and we receive, the answer to our prayer in a positive way, and we're blessed by it. And we have faith and confidence that God answered our prayer. But you couldn't prove that to an atheist if your life depended. Well, that's the nature of providence. But that's not our topic now.
Anthony,
but it's very
right.
I was just going to say, they're talking about, God can cause something to come to pass without, through human free will.
Exactly.
It's not that God has to directly push a button or pull a string or to make something happen, but through his infinite wisdom and omniscience, through our own free will, things come to pass.
Yeah.
That may very well have, been God's will. So.
All right.
Okay. Good deal. All right. We're gonna have to move quickly here. We had maybe we can cover this question real quickly. Question three was, is there any sort of boasting that is good? And Anthony, I think you covered it when you said in your email, in my mind, not really. The closest thing I can think of would be a sort of boasting that we are saved by grace and love, and using that pride of sorts to share the good news with others. The Apostle Paul spoke along those lines. I got a couple of references here. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord, for not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. And so let your glorying, that word is synonymous with pride or being
yes.
proud,
yep.
boastful. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 31 says, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And finally, Philippians chapter 3, in Philippians chapter 3, beginning verse 3, Paul says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I am more. And he goes on to talk about how he had previously had his pride, his confidence in his Jewish ancestry, but now his rejoicing is in the Lord.
And Tim in the chat room had referenced earlier Galatians chapter 6, verse 4, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not
another. And I think that's this sense.
Yeah.
I think that's this sense.
All right, so how do you explain it?
I think that's what it is. I think, in other words, it's not boasting in what I have done myself. It's not
boasting
in what God has accomplished.
Okay.
In other words, the praise in that goes to him, not to me.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it on my own. I'm not saved because of my own goodness, because of my own worthiness. I'm saved because God provided an amazing plan and made it empowered it all through the sacrifice of his own son. That's who deserves the praise. That's what to rejoice in. There's what to take confidence in.
All right. Well, let's go to a break. We'll get to the top of the hour, or go get back on the break. We'll go to the top of the hour talking about, what about taking pride in your work, being proud of your family? What about the difference between praise and flattery? We'll let you chime in on that as we go on the other side of the break. Tim in the chat room, I think, has suggested a topic on providence. I think we may have done one on providence.
Yeah, we have, and it's probably, not available in our archives right now because our archives are not all up.
This feature. We can talk about anything we want now.
Yeah, no, nobody could go back and check up on us.
They talk about that just a couple months? I don't know. I can't prove it. But that might be a good one to talk about. Okay. Thank you, Tim, for that suggestion. And when we get back, we'll talk to you. Don't go anywhere. The Virtual Bible Study continues right after this.
Don't touch that mouse. The Virtual Bible Study will be back right after this.
Hello, everyone. I'm Monty, a member of the College View Church of Christ. So you've been hearing all about the College View Church of Christ on the Virtual Bible Study and are interested in finding out more about the church. But you live hundreds of miles away from Columbia, Tennessee, and can't come and visit with the congregation to find out more. There's no reason to fear. After all, we live in the 21st century. Here's what you can do to find out more about the College View Church of Christ. First, why don't you check out our website while you're listening to the Virtual Bible Study? You'll find important information about the church there, including bulletin articles there on various subjects, and can even listen to sermons that have been presented at the College View Church in the past. Secondly, if you have questions about the church or about any Bible teaching, why don't you send an email to us and let us know how we can help? Send your questions to questions@collegeview.com. That address, once again, is questions@collegeview.com. We can even have a personal Bible study with you over email if you desire. And finally, if you would rather talk with someone in person, give us a call at 931-381-4567. That's 931-381-4567. You can call this number anytime. If you don't get an answer, leave a message and we'll call you back as soon as we can. We're glad you're listening to the Virtual Bible Study and hope to hear from you soon.
We're tracking the trends on the Virtual Bible Study. Students who date in middle school have significantly worse study skills, are four times more likely to drop out of school, and report twice as much alcohol, tobacco, and marijuana use than their single classmates, according to a new research study by the University of Georgia. A group of 624 students was followed over a seven-year period from 6th to 12th grade. Each year, the group completed a survey indicating whether they had dated and reported the frequency of different behaviors, including the use of drugs and alcohol. Their teachers completed questionnaires about the students' academic efforts. According to the study, quote, at all points in time, teachers rated the students who reported the lowest frequency of dating as having the best study skills and the students with the highest dating as having the worst study skills. That information is from Religion Today. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 1 says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near, when you will say, I have no pleasure in them.
Missed a recent virtual Bible study program? Listen to any of our past programs from the archive section of our website. Now, back to the Virtual Bible Study.
We're back on the program tonight, and we appreciate you for joining us. Hope this study is helping you as we talk about pride and the problems of it. Did we catch all of those about that?
I think we did. I think we got that all.
Any place that boasting is
in.
Good? You got Randy on that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's hurry, because we're going to be out of time here in just a few minutes. But let's talk about, what about the expression we use sometimes, taking pride in your work?
Yes.
You know, one of the things we have to be careful about, you know, I started out the program saying my grandmother wouldn't even let you use the word proud. Well, sometimes words have different usage, especially over time. Here in Tennessee, an expression is common that really I don't think is bad. I don't use it because my grandmother conditioned me never to say proud.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, if you meet somebody in Tennessee, we say, "I'm proud to know you." Well, that's just we're using the word proud instead of happy.
Do you say that, Anthony?
I don't think I've ever said
that. I don't think I have either, but yeah.
It is a Tennessee expression.
I don't know. Anybody else?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know where you guys have been.
No, I've heard it. I've heard it. I just wonder if it's other areas.
I've never heard it in other parts of the country, but it's common in Tennessee. Someone says, "I'm proud to know you."
Yeah.
And they're just using the word there means I'm pleased or happy to know you. And, you know, you couldn't say that's a sinful
Maybe
concept.
It's something to do with us, Anthony. Maybe nobody's ever said that to us.
I'm proud to know you. I say that to say this expression, I take pride in my work, or you should take pride in your work, doesn't, you know, I suppose it could convey a bad meaning if you were haughty about what you were able to do. But that expression, it's a figure of speech that means do your work well, you know, if you're going to do the job, do it to your best. Do the best you can on the job. And I really think that that notion is conveyed in scriptures. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, pleasing God or fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. I think that's the concept. You know, that's talking about your secular work. That's not talking about spiritual work. That's talking about the work you do in the world. Do it well. Do it to the best you can. Mm-hmm. John, I think, has that idea in mind in the chat room. He said, it's good to note that in our English language that one of the usages of the word pride can also reference a respect for one doing the best he can. For instance, we are to seek to have a good name, Proverbs 22:1, a good reputation, Acts 6:3, doing the best we can in general, Ecclesiastes 9:10. I think Ecclesiastes 9:10 is where it says, what thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Is that it? Look that up. Ecclesiastes 9:10. Knowing our good works are going to be seen by men, Matthew 5:14 and following, we should take pride in our work.
You are right.
Do the best we can in all things, including our service to God. I think John's right that you know the idea of it's an expression. It's a figure of speech almost. Take pride in your work just means do your best work, you know, and God wants us to be that kind of person who does the best that he can.
Right, absolutely. Okay.
So we got some email on that. Is this Ramona? Yeah, this
Anthony,
is Ramona.
Break it down for us. What do you think?
Yeah, I think certainly with as far as taking pride in your work, you know, I was thinking as you guys were talking, when I was a kid having to mow the grass, you know, my dad was always hoping that I would take pride in, you know, and I think eventually I finally learned the lesson, you know. I think
you didn't do it, though. You had a conscience against it, though, yeah. Right? That's why you didn't want to mow the grass.
Right, but you know, not even with my kids. I'm hoping that they can learn to take pride in, you know, in their schoolwork and doing the chores around the house and whatnot. But so that's certainly, I think, a good thing. You know, and the Bible teaches us, you know, again, as was mentioned in our secular work, we're to work as though we're working for the Lord, and we're not to work with eye service as men pleasers and so forth. So we definitely need to be hard workers.
Jack in the chat room sums it up well, I think. We should always do our best because we do it unto the Lord. Taking pride in my work is doing my best. And we should always do our best. I must not think I'm better than others and that I realize all of my abilities come from God and he is due the real glory. If this is our attitude, then it is not wrong to take pride in our work.
Okay. I think that's a good summary. Ramona in email said, I think it'd be all right to take pride in your work, but first also give glory to God that you could do the good work. Be humble about it. Do not boast to others. And I think that's what we're talking about. We're it's not boasting. In other words, if I take pride in my work, it just says that I'm trying to put out the best product that I can. I'm just trying to provide the best service that I can. And that's what that expression means. I don't think that's a sinful expression. I don't think it's a sinful notion to say you're taking pride in your work.
What about being proud of your children and your family?
Yeah. Ramona says, give glory to God for your children and family. Be humble about it. Do not boast. So she says sort of the same thing.
Anthony, you mentioned in your email that there is a danger that we can sort of get, have the wrong kind of pride about our family.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. And we, you know, if we're all the time going around talking about the awards that our kids have won.
How smart they are.
The grades they got. Yeah, I mean, that's just not appropriate. And, I mean, there's nothing wrong with feeling proud of your kids for doing good work. I mean, you know, among your own family and towards them, that's you know, part of being a parent is giving that positive feedback. But when it's look what I've, you know, look what my kids have done, and even, you know, I'm not saying it's always wrong to tell somebody, hey, my kid, you know, won such and such,
right.
That, you know, but it's all about the attitude and what we're trying to, you know, what our intentions
part
are.
Part of the, maybe what we're doing here is we're interchanging the word proud and pleased sometimes.
Yeah,
that's, I think,
true.
That's a,
you
know,
good point.
Yeah. Or happy with them, right, or yeah, grateful, right, for them. And in my notes, that's what I said.
Or we,
use a different word. Use the word, I'm thankful for my family, yeah, for my children. I'm happy with my family, with my children. I feel blessed with my family and my children. There are a lot of other words that you can use that don't have the potential to convey a wrong sentiment or that might lead to something else.
Randy says we should look at 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13. Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And that should definitely be our objective when we think about our work and our family.
Yeah.
It needs to be the glory of God.
You know, in regards to family, I think, Anthony, something you said made me think that, you know, we want to be careful not to, even toward our children, we want to commend them, we want to encourage them, we want to give them, sometimes we use the expression, give them credit where credit is
right.
due, but we also are in the business of teaching them to be humble. You know, that's an important character trait that as parents we've got to instill in our children. Well, if I'm all the time bragging on them and just building them up and ignoring their faults and downplaying their failings, you know, if I could end up with a child who's haughty and proud, and I've done a bad job because that's what I emphasized rather than balancing this out and keeping and stressing the idea of humility to our children.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. In the chat room, Tim asked a question. What about putting pride in something outside of ourselves, like pride in a nation that can go well into boasting?
Yeah, I don't know about that. You know, I would use it when it comes to the nation. I would use the words like grateful.
Yeah,
I'm thankful that I feel blessed to live here. You
so
know?
You would not want to sing, "I'm proud to be an American."
I'm proud to, yo, yeah,
no,
I'm
no, starting to. Like you no, not
we
sing
definitely
it.
Don't want him to sing it.
But who was that? Lee Greenwood.
Yeah,
Lee Greenwood.
Right,
yeah. So, no. I don't know that the idea of a national spirit of oneness, you know, is necessarily bad. I don't think it is necessarily. I think there's some value in it, in fact. But I don't know whether the idea of pride is the right word to use.
Yeah, maybe a misnomer there as well, but definitely.
You could Lee Greenwood have said, "I'm glad to be an American"?
This doesn't
come across the same,
but
okay.
I don't know, probably
purposely, because he was trying to convey that idea, that notion of pride.
All right.
Real quick, we're just out of time, Jacob. Is there a difference between praise and flattery connected with pride? This goes to what we might do to our kids or do to others. What about praising other people?
Yeah.
You know, praising other people for the good they did. We find that in the Bible. It's right to offer encouragement. I was thinking of the text that John mentioned in the chat room, 1 Thessalonians 1, 6 through 10, where Paul commended the Thessalonians for their faith and what they had done in service to the Lord. He praised them. Praise and encouragement is one thing. It can, I think, you got to balance that, or you could become guilty of flattery.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times in the life of Jesus, his enemies approached him with false flattery. They were trying to manipulate the situation. I noted in here Matthew 22:16.
Yes, and Ramona did as well.
The disciples of the Herodians came and said, "Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the ways of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of man. Therefore, answer us a question. What thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not?" They were trying to entrap him.
Yeah.
But they started out by flattering him.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's one thing to offer worthy praise and encouragement. We got to be careful about flattery. We got a couple real quick.
Yeah, apparently, and Ramona pointed out that Jesus responded by saying, "Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites?" So apparently Jesus understood that.
He could see right through
it. Yeah, this was a temptation. Yep.
Yeah. Proverbs 26:28, a lying tongue hateth those that are affected by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Proverbs 29:5, a man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. In other words, he's using flattery to try and get an advantage over his neighbor.
Okay.
And so we got to avoid flattery,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah, according to Ramona, she says there's a difference between encouragement and flattery. The Greek definition of flattery means motives of self-interest. It generally is defined as false praise. Anthony, I think you said similar things.
Yeah, but Anthony, you said in your email, praise is simply commending someone for something. Flattery is insincere praise, usually excessive, intended to ingratiate the giver with the recipient. In other words, you got motives. You got motives.
Definitely.
Jack in the chat room says, flattery seems to be for someone to get an advantage, like buttering up the boss. Flattery is for your benefit. Praise is seen to encourage or benefit someone else.
Yeah.
So the motive is the problem.
Yeah. Great. We're out of time.
Good discussion tonight.
Good program.
I'm not going to say it was a great discussion because I wouldn't want to be proudful, but it was a good discussion. And Dad, thank you for being back. Glad to have you here.
Thanks. Thanks for your work tonight. And I think a subject we all need.
Anthony, thank you for joining us on the program.
My pleasure. A great study.
And hope you benefited from our study and discussion of God's Word tonight. We will hopefully see you here this time next week on another edition of the Virtual Bible Study. And in the meantime, we encourage you to put God first in your life. Study His inspired Word, the Bible, and live by it every day. You'll never regret it.
Thanks for listening to the Virtual Bible Study, brought to you by the College View Church of Christ. The College View Church of Christ meets at 1618 Hampshire Pike in Columbia, Tennessee. If you are in the Columbia, Tennessee area, we encourage you to worship with the College View Church of Christ on Sunday mornings at 9:30 and on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. The College View Church of Christ also welcomes you to attend their Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 o'clock. If you have any questions about something that was said on tonight's broadcast or would like more information about the College View Church of Christ, please call 931-381-4567. That number again, 931-381-4567. Or for more information on the internet, visit collegeview.com. Be sure to tune into the Virtual Bible Study this time next Thursday for another informative study of God's Word.